Hello, everyone. Hi, I am Duke. I'm your panelist. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the panel for aromantic and asexual furries, or if you're just curious about, like, lesser, less sexual parts of the fandom, that's cool, too. I am a Chihuahua Collie mix, and I'm definitely feeling a bit of the tremble right now. But So, I'm gonna give a little bit of a spiel about who I am, and then get into being an asexual furry, some, like, more common parts about, like, being asexual or aromantic, and then some furry-specific things, and then there will be time to socialize afterwards. So, yeah, I am Duke. I'm a Chihuahua Collie mix, but generally any, like, small orange dog works. Depends on my mood. I got into the fandom in 2017. I worked at the Doubletree for 2 summers, and, like, I got sucked in. It's, like, these people, like, they're so friendly. They give so many, they give nice hugs, and they eat, like, so many cookies and a lot of candy, like, roughly 4,000 Doubletree cookies over. And what finally made me quit was I wanted to come here, and I made it to second cookie bagger in command, and that was that. It was an interesting thing going back to my work, like, a few weeks later, but with ears. And, yeah, so I've been in the fandom since, like, 2017, and I haven't managed to leave Pittsburgh because I'm still a career cook by trade. Right now I'm working at one of the few hotels that doesn't have furry hotel blocks downtown, so that's how I escaped this weekend. The flag is that's called the Sunset Arrow Ace pattern, and the symbol in the middle of it is a Triskelion, but in this context, it's more of a kink symbol, which that's not what the panel's gonna be about, so you're good if that bothers you. It's just how I identify with me. Like, I am sex and romance in different arrow ace, and one of the few ways that it works for me is, like, in a kink setting. Like, I can... You don't really, like, need so much romantic attraction. I'm also a bit some form of undiagnosed neurodivergent, and, like, I really like the rules and clearly established boundaries of the kink community and their non-sexual parts, too. As far as my identity goes, I'm gonna go into a little bit of a story about, like, how that came to be. Like, first puberty gave me a really high libido, and then I got an IUD, and it completely tanked my sex drive, and I was really happy about it. And that's when it's like, oh, that aces can have a libido. And that works for me. Aromantic took a little bit longer to come out with me. Part of it is, like, what pulling apart the different types of attraction. What am I getting from attempting to date people? And I discovered that was just attention and a solid person to rely on, which you don't really need a romantic relationship for that type of thing. So, like, ever since then, I've been rolling with mostly indifferent arrow ace, and I'm also ethically non-monogamous. I don't really partner with people, but I do like the level of affection I can get from just someone that has their needs met somewhere else, but just hanging out with someone, like, once or twice a month, that maybe once, like, a little bit extra. When I was closer to, like, college age, I was with a handful of, like, Pitt students that went away for the summers or could only had time a few times a year. And that's what worked well for me. As far as the more detailed direction of the panel, who's at their first furry convention?
Woo! Woo!
And hopefully I can help you avoid some of the uncomfortable situations that people that have been in the fandom unfortunately experience. I'm also a trans man. My pronouns are he, they, and I can also go into depth about what it's like to be transgender and asexual. Who would be interested in hearing about that? All right, gotcha.
The answer is yes, apparently.
Yeah. I didn't really have a speech. I'm a chihuahua for a reason. I'm just kind of like winging it here. So yeah, let's start with the
difference. Woo! Yeah.
I'm always talking about seeing my fans.
So some of the like main different ways people experience sexual or experience attraction to like other people is like you have like obviously your sexual attraction, like you look at someone and you get to know them and like you want to have sex with them. Platonic is like your friends. Sensual is like you want to snuggle with them. Aesthetic attraction, which often gets confused for sexual attraction, is just like you like the way people look, and like you look at a person the same way you would like a sunset or like a beautifully organized bookshelf, and like there's not much of a difference between the two of you, between those things for you. There are a bunch of different micro labels that you can get into with different asexual and aromantic identities. Those get kind of confusing. It's really nice that we have those, but those are pretty easy to Google and look at, like, because a lot of people do identify with like more than one, or a split attraction is a thing that happens. Like, you can experience sexual attraction, be aromantic. You can be aromantic and experience sexual attraction. You can be sexually oriented like one way, or have a preference one way, and then your romantic attraction it's different. It doesn't match. I do really think the micro label flags are cool, and you should wear a micro label that fits you with pride, and just roll with that. I am also like some level of definitely undiagnosed neurodivergent. I do experience sex-based texture repulsions, and I do experience sensory overload. So like a lot of people, there are a handful of people that like think being autistic and ace are like the same thing, but there are definitely autistic people that like that it is a problem for them that they struggle to like find partners, because it's like a whole new set of social norms that they have to learn, or their sex-based texture repulsions are like a serious problem for them. But like if like that's like the difference I've seen, where it's more your aero ace and autistic, like those things aren't that big of a deal for you because you're not really interested in them. And yeah, that's there are some people, like there is a separate micro label that some autistic asexuals identify with, and that's awesome for them. It's just, yeah, there are autistic people that really struggle with the extra challenges of, they also really want to find a relationship, or like bodily fluids freak them out or whatever. As far as the trans experience, I got into that a little bit with my introduction. I got an IUD, it tanked my sex drive, and I was really concerned that with starting T, or like I had a full hysterectomy last year, so I'm running on like 100% T, if that would affect it. Like, I've read stories, but not like I'm slightly more gray than I was, but like I'm good. There are trans people that like as they transition, like something unlocks in their brain and they do become less asexual. They start to experience sexual attraction, but not everybody does. I've even read interesting stories about guys that have gone through fallow, which is like a really long, extensive process, and then after that is like when it finally like flips in their brain that they're not ace anymore. But like, it doesn't work that way with everyone. It's just an interesting thing that happens. Gender euphoria is not a type, not a way like people feel attraction to others, but it is very confusing because it's often coming from like a specific person. It's gender compliments. They make you feel like really good about your gender. Maybe it's the fact that you're the correct gender of you're presenting as the correct gender of a gay couple, or on the correct gender of straight couple, that can feel very euphoric, and you can get that confused easily with a specific person that gives you that type of attention. But it is something that you kind of gotta like work through and realize that, oh, if you're feeling gender euphoria, you might be experiencing attraction and getting comfortable in your body as you transition, but like you might not be. And I've done a lot of like introspection with that type of stuff, and I think it's important to like sit back and see and try to figure out what you're getting from someone. Like, do you like the attention? Do you like the way that they're talking to you? Do you like the gender that they make, like their how gender they make you feel? And that's what I got for that one. I'm open to like further questions on that type of stuff. I'm like 2.5 years on T, but like I've been openly not cis for like most of my life. So it's especially like when we were shut down, like that was an unfortunate time to really dig through things. One of the tools that I do like to use for pulling apart the different things that you can get from a relationship is the relationship anarchy smorgasbord, which even if you're monogamous or non-partnering, it pulls apart like all the different things you can get from a person. Like, it's really important if you're somewhere on the ROA spectrum, like not entirely sure. Like, it can help you dissect what you're feeling towards others, what gets those happy chemicals going in your brain, and why you want to form the relationships with the people that you do. So as far as being asexual or aromantic in the fandom, there are different ways that aces do interact with the more sexual parts of the fandom. Like, sometimes it's a body confidence thing, and or sometimes you do have gender feels where your suit's a different gender than your day-to-day gender. The group chats are a great way for like body positivity. There are plenty of aces that do like to be sexually admired but not actually participate. We also have, there are asexual artists that make smut for, like, whatever reason. Sometimes they enjoy making the smut. That would be, egosexual, or, like, you feel like a separation from your romantic or sexual attraction. That's actually how I primarily identify. I absolutely love looking at things that are romantic or sexual, but I don't really want to participate.
Yeah, I'm self-sexual.
That one, like, if you're in the monster smut, but you're completely uninterested in humans, then, like, you're still, like, asexual. That's like its own thing. There are artists that, like, they do it for the money. There are artists that do it because they like it. And that's an interesting aspect that gets ignored, especially when we are in... Do you have a question?
Just a quick thing to mention as an artist. Does anyone else, like, rather than being interested in the sexual aspect of making NSFW, is it more like an aesthetic thing? Because, like...
Oh, often, yeah, like, I feel that. Yeah. It's like the abs and the muscles.
I'll do commissions, and, like, I'm more so interested in, like, just... the character's genitalia design, they're just really pretty. Like, they're like eye candy to me.
Yeah.
Like, when they're, like, colorful and, like, you know, like, abnormal. It's like, those are so pretty. That's all I get for
I really get into, like, my creature of choice would be like a werewolf. So like the different abs, the different ways that they anthropomorphize it, and like I do look at the shading and stuff on the muscles, like what the overall aesthetic and like the species interaction can be interesting too, especially as a small dog that usually ends up on top. It is like interesting. There are some asexual people that will even like mod and then accept of you chat. And it's just like, I guess you're not getting distracted. Do what's for you. There are like plenty of asexuals that are comfortable in like the more sexual environments. There was actually a bit of a moment. I ended up at a house party that had like, because it seemed like they had a really good potluck. And I and there was also an orgy on the couch. But I did eventually find a different group of furries that like there's no orgies on their couches, but also like it's just me and one other duck that like that make the snacks for their house parties for the most part, and I'm definitely much happier there.
You're like, wow, this macaroni salad is really great.
They had garlic knots. That was the one that sold me.
Was there an episode of It's Always Sunny?
Yeah. That sounds like it.
Sex is fine, but have you had garlic bread?
There was one point where someone was on the bench in front of the potluck table, and they thought they had an audience for what they were doing, but no, they were in front of the potluck table. You do find asexual furries in sometimes unexpected places, like events at a bathhouse. We do have yins fur, or at their kink event, I met a guy that likes slime, and there are organizers of both of those events that like prefer like less sex, and unfortunately, this is the only one where they let you have. This yins fur is the only one where they let you have your bits out before midnight. But I do hang out in a lot of those environments. I am like pretty like comfortable and confident about myself, and we'll get to that later. But as far as the non-sexual parts of the fandom, what's wonderful about Anthrocon and pushing being child-friendly. Is like it's conveniently less sexual. There's like a lot of panels. There's so much to do here. We have restaurants, we have river cruises, we have like our main event is a dance competition, and that's really cool. There are some furries that like they don't even get a convention pass, or like they'll just borrow one to go into the dealer's den because they're busy in their rooms doing NSFW things or whatever. The fact that like you're at a panel, especially like this early in the day, like thank you, means like you're not actively doing NSFW things, and that's a great way to find other asexual furries. Just go out and like you're at things, you're meeting people with your interests, especially a panel this large. There's bound to be like some people that like what you like, and you just gotta find it in the schedule. There is a Telegram chat that I made because the panel gained a lot of interest. It's called Aces at Anthrocon, and you can just search it or ask, and I can link you to it.
I was not expecting to find as many like ace furries when I first joined the fandom. It was like actually one of the reasons I figured out I was ace. And it was my main, like, I guess, eureka moment. It's not about sex. I can just dress like a dinosaur.
Sometimes you vibe with who you vibe with. I coincidentally, like, neither of us were wearing much at like the first like logo, which is like a furry rave, if you're not familiar, but it's in the second floor of a bathhouse, so, like, there you can do bathhouse things. It's like chill with nudity, I guess is what I'm getting at. And like, oh hey, we're both very demi, we're like on the A spectrum somewhere. There was another time the event happens regularly where we're like, let's go do the thing, and then we were like, let's go to the bathroom first, and then the thing never happened, and it's chill. You just. As far as being visible and like if you really wanna like go and make asexual friends, flagging is like it's awesome that furries as a whole seem to have a concept of like not all aces are sexually pulsed, but that does mean that flagging does not really stop you from being hit on or like they're like, I kind of wish they would just, like, assume that, you know, maybe there's a chance that they're, like, a sex-repulsed ace, just because it can get a little bit annoying sometimes. But, I'm obviously covered in flags. I get excited about things. As far as, like, either or with the micro-labels, I do like the sunset flag for myself. I picked an orange persona and a blue collar, and I told the artist to roll with the arrow ace panel for my con badge, and it worked for me, but, like, there's also, like, either side of my hood, I put the combination flag studs on it.
Nice.
It can be an easy way to find it, although I have learned that, like, you know, the purple, gray, and, like, the green and gray are just really aesthetic, and
yeah.
There are a handful of suitors that have that aesthetic, and they don't know what asexual is.
Mine, when my persona's done, just know that that sea monster's intentionally those colors.
As far as, like, also interacting with, like, the more sexual parts of the fandom, what's important is being able to say no. That's, like, one of my favorite words. It gets you out of so many things that you don't want to be in. Just, like, not even, like, sexual things. Just, like, overextending yourself socially or, like, picking up an extra shift or whatever. It's an awesome word. Words are hard sometimes. So, like, at least you're a furry. If words are hard, sometimes it's easier to just do what the animal your son is based off of would do, and just like nope out of the situation, make the noise, whatever. If like actually saying no is hard, then just do whatever you have to do to get them to stop. Like I'll even just like. Grab their hand and give it back to them sometimes. That type of thing. Or just straight up like blocking with my arm and flailing in. It, don't like be a little bit shameless about it and make sure you're protecting yourselves. As far as room parties go, just like if it makes you uncomfortable, just like no bother there. No one's gonna be that upset. And if you're with furries that make you uncomfortable, then like that's you're not like with. Furries that might make you comfortable. It can take a few tries to find a friend group that fits your level of sexual comfort, but they do exist, and it's awesome being in Pittsburgh that like I don't organize anything locally because I don't have to. There are comfortable spaces that I can exist that don't have sex in them. I found a group that has the no sex at their house party rules. And it took a little bit, but, like, once you get there, you're good. And just staying with a group that makes you uncomfortable because, like, they have garlic knots or whatever is like,
garlic knots
are wonderful, but sometimes you gotta, like, just... There are a lot of us out there, and, like, eventually, if you keep going and, like, you stick by it, like, what makes you comfortable, what makes you happy, you'll find... where you fit in, and that's also why I have this panel. Like, there are... Anthrocon is massive. It can be hard to find people like you. That's why I have the group chat, too. It can definitely be a lot to navigate.
Yeah.
thanks for mentioning the smorgasbord. I've had that bookmarked for like, I don't know, 3 months to go through, as some friends have recommended that to me, so I'll just echo that. No, it's a really good tool.
I can like go into that a little bit more. I do, like, I'm not like strictly like relationship anarchy has like connotations attached to it, but that's sort of how I exist. Especially like I like some affection and like sexual attention, but not that much. And it's just like, especially being a furry, like it's like, what are we sometimes? And with another person, you just like vibe, communicate what you're happy doing, and make sure like you're respecting each other's boundaries, and don't be afraid to enforce your own. Like, why are you friends with this person? Like, why do you like doing the things that you do with them? What's the extent that you want to have a connection with this relationship? Like, are you on a relationship escalator? Or you're just like happy with the way things are? Like, are they just a con crush that you're going to see once a year? And that's all the more you want to see them. Find what works for you. And the relationship smorgasbord is... relationship anarchy smorgasbord is a great tool for the different, laying out the different things that you can get from a relationship and helping you really dissect how you experience things and be able to learn to better communicate your needs. As far as like micro labels go and like interacting with the aloes as a sex in different ace, I've learned that if you tell them that you will have sex, sometimes it's they assume that you want to have sex, or like they expect you to initiate. Our local burlesque community learned that one pretty hard when I was with an extremely aesthetically attractive person, and one of the reasons why we broke up was because like we didn't have sex, and it's just like, what were you? I told you, like, things like that help you like learn to like reword things, and just like, I find it's like easier to like play it like you're not interested until like you definitely are, especially like if you're demi. As far as like a convention goes and they don't like live near you and you don't have plans to like communicate after this weekend, if you're demi, just tell them like you're not interested, and kind of like deter them from trying and being annoying, because like, oh, sometimes like if you give some people a chance, they will like run with it. Some people are like, there are like I mentioned, like obviously not all neurodivergent people are autistic. Some of them are aloe, and like they're just as confused as you are, but like with different feelings. Is there anything else, anyone?
So you. This is a convention. A lot of us are from out of town. What's a good way for us to find aero-friendly spaces in our local area? What would you recommend?
Don't be afraid to check the more sexual ones, because that was a really nice surprise where, like, we do have ace furries running our local ones. Facebook, Instagram... Twitter, just search your area and start with the child-friendly events, like Upper Bowl. Those happen like everywhere across the, they're a common thing that happens with different places. Bars sometimes have, like, they'll advertise, find out where they hang out at, and start with like the non-sexual spaces, like different like safe work events, like car shows are a thing that happen, and go from there.
Okay. How do you find balance with friends that are very hypersexual and they want to explore that, and you find that valid because that's also part of the outer experience, so that shit makes you uncomfortable and you're having trouble explaining to them the contradictory.
One of my favorite phrases is, I'm not asking you to understand, I'm just asking you to respect my boundaries. So that's the direction I go, especially like trans things, ace things, like don't, I set this boundary, just please respect it, even if you don't understand it.
Right, so I want to respect them and their exploration and journey too, but at the same time, I feel like I have to put up with some of their stuff that makes me uncomfortable, but I don't know how to express my boundaries. I don't know if I'm expressing myself better than I'm going.
Yeah, I hear the challenge.
Yeah, it's I'm frustrated because I want to be there and support my friend in their journey, but I'm also uncomfortable at all.
So let me explain this to you. I have to work, I've got 8 arts up. I've done, I do very, very fun boundaries. And the thing is, the way I make sure to cultivate my friend group and make sure that I'm associated with people that I know will listen to me and respect me as a person, as who I am. I am a member, I am a black person. I am a trans masculine person. I am neurodivergent. I have a whole gamut of things that would make me get gold medals in their Prussian Olympics, okay? But we don't play in Prussian Olympics.
Right.
And I want to make sure that they know who I am, what am I about, and if you cannot accept me, I don't want any part with you. A lot of people do get very emotionally attached to their friend groups. They want to make it work. But at some point, you have to take care of yourself. You have to hold your friends accountable for their actions. And you have to hold yourself accountable. I hate the term victim mentality. I hate the term victim blaming. I know it is a thing that happens, but at some point, you have to take control of that situation and you have to put the foot down. So, me, I am Arrow Ace myself. However, it's more along the lines of once I get emotionally attracted to people, I lose that sexual interest. I'm the reverse of it. Okay, if that makes any sense. And so I have been in relationships where I started off very sexual with this person. I got emotions involved, and all of a sudden it disconnected. And they're like pushing me. But I had explained to them beforehand, do not catch feelings with me. I am aromantic. Once you put that romance on me, that's it. It's not going to work. I'm a profile, actually. But they insist that they're going to change me, you know? So, maybe you just keep trying, like your friends. You just check it out. But you have already said no. And no is a great word. No, it's also a complete sentence. I love y'all, but I got to go.
Have to explain yourself to anyone. As far as micro labels are great, but most people don't know what they mean. I just tell people my sexuality and romantic attraction are probably not. And you just roll them that, there's a chance, but I kind of doubt it. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Like, you don't owe anybody.
Support your friend without.
Google is your friend.
Right? You can be a friend to someone who is of a very different label group, stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the extent to which you support them, what that looks like is entirely decided by you and your relationship to them, right? If you are ace and they are not ace, then they don't have to do ace things with you. I don't know what exactly what the
right,
but
right.
They don't have to do that, and you convert them to someone you don't have to do.
Right.
You don't have to listen to their lyric sex stories, is what I guess.
Respecting
someone and having boundaries for yourself is two different things. So if you really respect them, they should, return the respect and still remind them of the boundaries, because that's just how no respect for them.
Yeah.
Something I have found, and unfortunately I've had to use it a couple times, but this kind of default now, is that some people don't really understand when you say no, and saying no can be hard sometimes. If you mix a little vulgarity and just tell them fuck off,
yep.
Really well, because
yep.
Sometimes they might not understand no, but if you add a couple of a little bit of pizzazz on those words, they get it real quick.
Yeah,
never be ashamed of revoking consent in any
yep.
sort of situation.
Exactly.
Be proud, just assert yourself, make sure that they know what you mean. And if something's making you uncomfortable, then also if other people around you see it, that's really no big deal. Just as long as what you're doing stops. And furries are a little bit flighty anyway, just go where you want to go. Like, if you disappear from a room party, then, like, it happens. Like, who knows why? You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to, like, explain what made you uncomfortable unless, like, you do really want to, like, maintain something with people. But, like, there's no inherent obligation. Is any more questions, things you would like me to...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what aloe is, or...
Aloe is... aloe is a person that experienced sexual or romantic attraction. It is the same prefix for both allosexual or alloromantic. That means just, like, you experience it. And something else that's important to, like, cover that and this sex favorable is, like, you want to participate in sex, and sex positive is you support everybody else's right to have as much sex as they want to. You can be sex positive and sex repulse. Like, you don't want it for yourself, but, like, you support everybody else's right to do it as they wish. Anything else, Crimby?
Hi, Duke. Love you.
Hi, Duke.
So, I used to be way more openly sexual in the local community than I am now. And the reason for that is because some consent violations have occurred. And I feel like asexuality for about 99% of the time makes sense for how I feel. Do you have any tips on how to really interact with people when they're used to you being openly sexual and then that is not the case anymore?
That's another great, like, interest or situation where, like, just taking their hands, telling them to stop, and, like, patiently explaining to them that you're not interested in that anymore. Sometimes publicly announcing that, or, like, you're kind of in charge, you and we have pups that are in charge here, that's cool, but, like, you can ban someone. Don't be afraid to do it. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes you do need solid evidence and you'll get criticism, but, like, if someone doesn't listen to a polite but firm no, you can like, just tell them, like, not to show up to things, or if you do experience something uncomfortable, tell someone that's in charge. If you notice, like, a hierarchy in their friend circle, make sure their friends know about it. Don't be ashamed to, like, make it known that, like, people are making you uncomfortable, because if the organizers don't know, then, like, they're still gonna be around in that space.
See, and I appreciate that, because I am a local organizer, so it does make it kind of hard to separate, like, my personal feelings from the responsibilities that I have as an impartial person.
It's also important to, like, talk to people and, like, reference check, or if you see someone new with someone that's a problem, like, maybe don't tell them no. Telling someone not to hook up with someone, especially a younger person, doesn't work. But, like, give them a polite heads up and, like, watch their interactions. Like we've had a member that I've spoken to about and someone else, and, like, just pay attention to who they're talking to. And a lot of the time, someone that, like, is there to cause problems will also, like, just, you target the new people, you target the marginalized people. Unfortunately, especially, you target the people that seem like they're a bit, like, neurodivergent, which, unfortunately, being furries and pups, that's a lot of us.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
So if somebody tries to start talking sex with you, a good way to put it is, it's kind of like if somebody is, like, say they're into Star Wars and you're not, it's kind of like literally just talking about any kind of interest like that. You can just be like, yeah, I'm just not really into that. And they should hopefully respect that and stop talking to you about it. But if they don't, then, well, you know, normal boundary rules occur.
I'm also a fan of the direct and firm, like, we can't talk about that, it makes me uncomfortable, or just stop talking about that. Because, like, sometimes people don't really take subtle hints, or they think if you're somewhat all right with something, that means that they can go along. But, like, a confident yes is not a yes, or a confident yes is the only yes that someone should accept. If someone's iffy, then, like, hold off a bit.
And also, like, stating boundaries, like, if you continue to, like, talk about this, I'm just going to nope out. That's something I've used on my family quite often. Mm-hmm. They start talking about, politics.
Right, just treat conversations
just
that make you uncomfortable.
Like, if you continue with this, I will leave the room. Easy.
And then, actually, enforce it. Just, go find a place that makes you comfortable, especially with, room parties and such. Trauma is a bit of a sneaky bitch, and you might not know about it until, months or, years later. And then it's much better to protect yourselves from, being in an uncomfortable situation. If you are sitting on the fence about doing something, make sure you have, a plan for if things go wrong. And make sure you're taking care of yourselves emotionally if you are out there trying new things.
I feel like a level beyond yourself is that if you have a friend that you know is uncomfortable with more sexual occurrences and someone's disrespecting their boundaries and you see that they're uncomfortable, is definitely be there for them.
Yeah.
If you can read the room and know them, it definitely helps to have someone there who can help you. Even if it's just, an ally or something. I feel like that word is thrown around, but I think that fits. So definitely be there for people around you for that too.
Right, and especially as organizers and such, if you notice someone's uncomfortable, they're not in a happy situation, everyone's trying to have fun, saying no is kind of hard sometimes, or even just making an animal noise, excusing yourself from the situation, do the cat thing and just slink away. do whatever. Sometimes that's hard, and you gotta watch out for each other. Another thing, I keep mentioning room parties and problems with them, just straight up ask them if there's gonna be sex at their room party. A lot of the times it'll start out with video games or Jackbox and a movie, and then a couple drinks in, everyone's doing the thing. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then you gotta know about it. There are non-sexual room parties that stay non-sexual, but it's always good to ask. Unfortunately, it is sort of the default. I would assume that there's gonna be an orgy at a room party unless it's explicitly stated otherwise, or at least some level of uncomfortable sexual interaction.
I found the asexual micro definitions just this year, and I found one that made me say yes, but there were others that I could understand the definitions on paper, logically, I read the words, understand, but I don't get it. Is that okay? There's parts of asexuality that I'm like, why your brain works this way, but I understand where the limits are.
There are so many aloes that don't understand what we experience, what's it like going through life and just not being interested in forming a relationship with anyone, or sex is all right instead of the pinnacle of human existence. They don't understand. I mentioned them not understanding what sex indifferent means. It's just just because I will doesn't mean I want to. You don't have to understand someone to respect their boundaries and respect the way that they go about life. Especially if it's just their sexual orientation or romantic attraction, especially if you are getting into micro-labels, one of the more, annoying ones that I experience occasionally is reciprosexual, where you're sexually attracted to someone and you're into it until, they reciprocate, and then it just, dies. And that one's confusing because, you gotta manage your own desires to, go pursue people just to, know you're probably gonna let them down or you're gonna be uninterested if they do accept your sexual interest.
I get a lot of times when I tell somebody I'm ace, I get the response, well, how do you know? Maybe you haven't met the right person. I know everybody hates that. How do you deal with
that?
It's
just
remember what I said about saying,
you
found
Unfortunately, the person I get that the most from is not somebody I can say that to.
Bam.
It's very
It's just like I've never wanted to try it. There are some things like there's I work in fine dining. We encounter a lot of like stinky cheeses. It's just like I don't want to try it. It doesn't appeal to me. Like Taleggio, it smells like VO. I guess it doesn't taste that bad, but I'm never gonna find out because I'm not gonna touch the VO cheese. It's just like you gotta like consent, you should be enthusiastic, you should really want to have sex with someone or form a relationship with someone. You shouldn't just do it because like, oh, it seems all right. Like you gotta respect someone else's emotions there. You don't wanna lead someone out and like what if you get started doing the things that you're doing and then you're like, this isn't very appealing. And it's just, like, you kind of want to avoid that. Sometimes it does happen. Like, reciprosexual people, like, they get into the heat of the moment, and, like, then their sexual attraction just, like, dies. So, like, just, you don't want to, like, let someone down. You don't want to do something you're not enthusiastic about it. Like, why is sex such an important thing for people to try if they're not just, like, reproducing? And even then, like, there are other ways around that one, too. That's sort of how I deal with it. Sometimes, like, one of my favorite personal phrases is just to be a chihuahua about it and not be afraid to be loud and defend myself and tell people to stop. Or, like, a lot of animals do have their own little defense mechanisms. Just embrace it a little bit, being, like, a dog or, like, a cat, or just do what they would do to... tell another animal to make them stop, and that can help with like the confidence. Cats are a good one with consent, because like if they don't want to be petted, you're not gonna pet them.
Cats are such like an autistic icon.
Yes.
Right, like, cats aren't automatically friends with you, humans aren't automatically friends with you either, as friendly as you can be. Some people are just uninterested, and, like, you gotta respect that, and also, like, move on when, like, you're not, like, interested in someone else. Just be where you wanna be. Like, you're at a convention having fun all weekend, you should do what you can to maximize the amount of fun that you're having. In the back. I kind of like did half expect like, oh, straight people or monogamous people are they're also interested in less sexual spaces. They don't want to be in the orgies too. That would be like another example of being nice that we're at Anthrocon. You can have a completely like sex repulse friendly convention and do lots of things, have lots of fun if you want to. But yeah, in this case, as in a someone that's partnered and monogamous is also your ace friend. Like they're not you they're like I sort of do find partnered monogamous people as like a safe spot because I know they're not gonna hit on me, and I know they're sometimes they do like participate in like group sexual situations, but like they are a safer point and they're less likely to lead me to just like an orgy. As far as just enforcing that, like, that would just be a situation where I'd tell them, you know, I don't experience sexual attraction, like, it's not gonna happen with you. Like, I'm not, like, even though I'm gray, like, there is a chance, like, sometimes it's just, like, flat out, no, like, I'm not gonna do it in this situation.
Maybe, but probably.
Like, there's a small chance, but I'm not even gonna tell you, like, I'll let you know if things change. Questions? Anything else that it's like being arrow is sort of like a special interest for me, and that's where I was coming at from this panel. I I admin a Facebook group for non-recall stasis, and it's just sort of it's been a really fun journey, really digging through my own emotions and figuring out the different things that I get from relationships, the different ways people experience sexual attraction to each other, or what even is romantic attraction, which like at this point I've narrowed it down to just like an extra stream of endorphins you get from like someone that like you're in a relationship with that's like, I don't even want to say like stronger than friendship, but like it's an endorphin stream that like makes the struggles of being in a relationship worth it. It's what I've come to like understand it as. Questions? Are we?
I
it's like I was in a. Well, I had a friendship that was kind of going towards a relationship, and then I ended up not going there once I saw, like, a picture of their face, because they were a long-distance person that I was talking with, and then I saw their face, and I was like, the romantic attraction just went away. Like, is that, like, a, like I guess, like, how would I react to, like, the kind of feelings that I might have where I'm like, oh, the nature of a relationship might, like, friendship kind of thing might change?
What you sort of described, like, seemed like, oh, a little bit of, like, reciprocal, like, you got to that point, and they were like, yes, and then it just, like, died. But,
I really seen the face, and it was like, okay, a picture of the face, I'm like, okay, once I finally saw that, I was like, okay.
I mean, sometimes you just don't vibe, like, a lot of younger people will understand that. It's a little bit difficult to communicate with some people, like, you know, vibes are off. But that's just what it is, and, like, you don't owe anyone an explanation. Just communicate your boundaries and what you want from a relationship. Like, this is how, you can even be honest, like, I'm a bit confused about how I'm feeling right now. And, like, I just need a little bit more patience and time. Please respect that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if they're going to do it again. There was an asexuality panel at Furidelphia last year, which I attended. So if anyone's going to that, then maybe they're going to have it again, depending on whether that person wants to do it. So that was kind of interesting. And secondly, the term gray and everything is kind of funny because I'm an older furry. I'm a gray muzzle, so I'm both gray and gray.
Nice.
And someone like me, 61 years old, never really dated, get married, whatever. People might see me travel and everything and go, well, geez, this guy doesn't have a wife and kids or whatever like that. Maybe they might think, well, maybe he's a widower, you know, maybe his wife died or something. They got to realize there's some of us who just don't want to do like most people do, and that's the way we are. And like you said, that's how, you know, leave us alone. Let us live our own lives and don't automatically be judgmental about, oh, that guy, you know, he must be something wrong with him if he doesn't have a wife and kids.
Yeah, that's
nothing wrong with us at all. We're just the way we are.
Organizing at other cons and such, like, I filled out a form, I stated my case about why it's important to hold a space for asexual and aromantic queries, and how like I would run it, and it was really easy to get the panel. Like, just sometimes you gotta be the person that steps up and takes charge, or even like the SCED app, like you can put in like an official meet and greet somewhere and like just like use it to like, oh hey, I'm asexual, and like let's see how many people show up to this particular spot in a convention. You don't get your own room. Or, like, there are other chats and stuff. Everyone's, like, free to use the one that I set up, Aces the Anthrocon, to, like, keep it as, like, a convention-goers chat. It's just Anthrocon-specific getting started. Sometimes you do have to be the person to reach out and, like, make it known that you're asexual and you're here and you would like to meet other people like you.
Thank you.
kind of blatant about that. I did work at a 7-Eleven, which I felt in that case I was obligated to be like a little bit harassed with people. And it's just like, you can like flat out ignore it sometimes and just like continue to come out faster. Just don't acknowledge what they said to you and they make a comment. And if you are getting harassed by customers, maybe bring it up to a manager's attention. And if it's, especially if you do get like regulars that harass you, so you can ask them not to come back.
I just kept talking. I'm like, oh wow, do you want to bring that movie or not?
Especially like being androgynous, looking then like look at my at that point like they look at my crotch and try to figure it out. It's just like, what type of cigarettes do you want? Do you just like keep it moving, get them out of your way, don't acknowledge it. And sometimes just like they are the weird one for hitting on you. Like you gotta remember that. make a face or something. Like what? Like you don't understand. Just move on if you do acknowledge it at all. Something that's an exercise that I've learned at like other kink events that they'll do is like you turn to a stranger and you ask them a question that you're expecting them to say no to. It doesn't have to be like sexual. You can ask them like if they want to jump in the river, cover your shift, or like get practice asking them if there's sex at their room party. But that is a fun icebreaker. If you just turn to someone and get practice saying no, it can help. It's scary at first, but like you do it once or twice, or like you learn to push someone out of just like your hands to stop someone, it can help a lot. So I'm gonna end my spiel here. We still have until 12:30 in the room, and I'll be around for questions. We can all like socialize with each other. Practice saying no. Have a nice rest of your time.
Thank you.